Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Kuf. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Kuf, at the end of the line. You will notice immediately a bow tie shape. This represents a second incident involving a money changer, or in this case the identification of money, as we saw in our previous shiur. Reish Lakish achvi le dinara le Rebbe Lazar. Reish Lakish presented a dinar, a coin, to Rebbe Lazar, and he wanted to know whether it's a good coin, and he should keep it in exchange for merchandise that he gave to someone, that he sold to somebody. The ruling on the coin's value then has a financial consequence to, in this case, to Reish Lakish. Omar and Rebbe Lazar ruled Ma'al Yahu. It's a good coin. You can keep it as payment for whatever you had sold. Omar Le, Reish Lakish further says, Chazi da'alech ka samchina. Note that I am relying on you. Omar Le, Rebbe Lazar responds, Ki samchis alai mai lememra. What are you implying by your reference to relying upon me? Di mishtakach bisha boino lichlufilach. That if it should turn out to be a bad coin, bisha means bad, a discontinued coin, a coin that's not accepted anymore in commercial transactions. In other words, if it should turn out that my assessment or my declaration or ruling was erroneous, that you will expect me to exchange it for you for a good coin. So Rebbe Lazar says, don't be so sure about that I'll be obligated just because you said that you're relying upon me. Vaha at hu de amris, but you, Reish Lakish, have been known to say, Rebbe Meir hu de doin dina de garmi. It's Rebbe Meir's opinion that damage that's, we'll say, indirect, garmi, similar to groma. We discussed this in a recent shiur on Daf Tzadiches, where damage that is caused but not direct destruction through some type of proactive action on an item that has value. In this case, if damage results, it's because of an oral ruling that may have been given, an erroneous ruling, but it's not direct proactive damage to an item of intrinsic value. Judging cases like that, where it's, we'll call it indirect damage, judging them and issuing rulings on cases, prosecuting cases like that, that's something that Rebbe Meir sees fit. My love, is it not so, Rebbe Meir, velo svira lon kavose, that your comment was that that's Rebbe Meir's opinion, that we adjudicate cases of causative damage, but we don't hold like that. So, according, Rebbe Lazar is then arguing to Reish Lakish, according to your own words, I would not be responsible if my ruling happens to be erroneous concerning your coin. Omar Le, Reish Lakish responded, lo, what you're quoting to me as that being Rebbe Meir's ruling that we prosecute or adjudicate cases of garmi, of causative damage, Rebbe Meir usvir alon kavasei. It is Rebbe Meir's opinion, and we happen to rule like that. The Gemara now investigates, hey, Rebbe Meir, where do we see a ruling of Rebbe Meir that reflects that we adjudicate cases of garmi, of a causative damage, indirect or causative type damage. The mivneh, structural note that appears on the side, highlights a volcano shape, a trapezoid, and a double underline, where we indicate this is a chipus, reading from the margin, chipus achar moker Rabbi Meir, a search in after a source with Rabbi Meir, the mochiach Rabbi Meir, don dina dagami. Where do we see Rabbi Meir holding that we do rule upon, we do prosecute cases of damage that's garmi, that's indirect or causative in nature. The parentheses that you see in the printed in the Gemara, I often read this as dal map, simen, dalid, lamid, mem, pei, are key letters in the subsequent sources that are cited where we think Rebbe Meir holds, we don dina degami. The first several presentations are merely attempts that are rejected. The last one, the fourth one, you will see is the source that we're looking for. So where do we see Rebbe Meir holding we don dina degami? He lema Rebbe Meir disnan Rebbe Meir in the following source. Now, Rebbe Meir's name doesn't appear explicitly here, but it's taken to be authored by Rebbe Meir. Don Esadin, a judge ruled, and he issued an erroneous ruling. Ziko Esachayev, he exonerated or exempted someone who was actually obligated to pay. Chiv Esazake, or he ruled guilty one who really is exempt. Time Esator, he ruled as defiled something that really is not defiled. Tieres atome, or ruled as pure, as undefiled, something that really was defiled. Ma she'asa asui vishalei mibeso, that which he ruled stands as a ruling, but he has to compensate from his own possessions, from his own holdings. So we see that this judge who issued an erroneous ruling is obligated to compensate, even though it appears that he didn't. It wasn't a function of direct damage. It was a ruling, an oral ruling, that resulted in someone losing out, but not direct, proactive physical damage done by the judge. The Gemara says that is not so. Ha itmar olah, it was in fact stated concerning this source. The Nosan Bayad. The judge actually, in issuing his ruling, he also did damage proactively. You'll ask, how is that? So Rashi gives examples. Rashi, on the fourth line from the top, we featured in the source that we read, Ziko Esachayev, he exempted someone really as obligated, and Rashi says, Veshenosa Venosan Bayad. He proactively did something. Vizika esachayev. What does that mean to exempt someone who really is obligated? Shohayalo mashko lamalva mimenu. The lender of money expected a debt to be paid. So you have someone that was truly obligated, the borrower, but the judge exempted the borrower from paying the debt. Where is the judge's proactive involvement? Well, the lender had a mashkon, collateral, a means of collecting the debt if the cash wouldn't be paid. V'notal dayan l'mashkon v'zir l'lova. The judge took that mashkon physically from the malva, from the lender, and gave it to the borrower, being that the borrower was said to be exempt according to his erroneous ruling. But there you see that the judge, in a proactive, direct, physical way, caused loss to the malva. So it's not a case of mere garmi. It's not just causative through his oral ruling, but physically, in the physical involvement of the judge caused the loss. Rashi goes on with other examples, which we recommend you looking into. But for our purposes, we've illustrated how the this source doesn't feature merely a case of garmi, but rather direct damage done by the judge. Ella, so we continue in our search on the second wide line of the Gemara, Laha, Rebbe Meir. It's Rebbe Meir in the following source, Disnan. We have seen this source already a few times in recent Shiurim. You hired someone, Litzboa Lo, to dye a garment, Odoim Vitzavo Shochar. You hired, instructed him to dye it in red, and he did it in black, Shochar Vitzavo Odoim. Or you hired him to dye it black, and he dyed it red. Rebbe Meir Oimer, Noisein Lo Vimei Tzimro. Rebbe Meir says that the worker has to pay the owner the value of the wool. So the Gemara says that that's not an example of garmi at all. Hasam ka'avid biyodayim. There the damage, so to speak, was done proactively. He physically, incorrectly dyed the wool. We're looking for a case where Rebbe Meir rules that there is an obligation to compensate for a damage done through garmi, something merely causative and indirect. Eloha, Rebbe Meir, Disnan. We have a source that deals with the general topic of kilayim, the prohibition of mixing different varieties of plant life. Hamasachef gifano al gabi tvuasa shechavero. Someone took a grapevine, his own grapevine, and placed it upon the grains of his neighbor. So you have a mixture, you have now grains growing within the context of a grapevine. That's a prohibition of kilei hakerem. And the source says, hareza kidesh. Kidesh is a word in this case means it causes ruination. The grains become prohibited, the chayav, and the offender has to pay for the loss in the grains. The Gemara says this is not an example of garmi, though. The hasam nami ka'ovid biyadayim there, he proactively took the grapevine and placed it upon the grains of his neighbor. That's physical, proactive action, not a case of something that's merely was indirect or causative. Elo ha, Rebbe Meir, Desanyo. The Tanaic source says, Mechitzas HaKerem Shenifritza. Let us just point out that even though in this source Rebbe Meir's name doesn't appear, as we saw, we are understanding by virtue of the fact that the Gemara is citing this in this context that it is in accordance with Rebbe Meir. There's a discussion you can see in the Tosfos at the bottom of the Omid that addresses this issue. So we're assuming, though, of course, that it is Rebbe Meir. The source, again, deals with the topic of kilayim. A party has a vineyard on one side of a fence. On the other side of the fence, grain is growing. That's fine. As long as the two fields are separated by a fence, that's a legitimate setup. The actual distance between the vines and the grain is of no relevance. As long as you have a clear demarcation, like a fence separating them, that's okay. However, this mechitzas hakerem, mechitzas is the fence, the wall or the fence of the kerem, of the vineyard, shenifritza, that broke open, that was breached. Omer lo gedor, the owner of the grain field, says to the owner of the vineyard, build up the fence, fix it. Tosfos at the top says, Omer lo gedor, pirush lebala kerem, du hamazik. The owner of the grain field says to the owner of the vines, who he is considered the damager, the Dalit Amos Sha'omru Laharchik Ubishvil Avidas HaKerem. There is a rule that in the absence of a fence, the owner of the vineyard has to maintain a distance of 4 amos, approximately 2 meters, from the neighbor's grain field. And that's that four amos is necessary for the benefit of the vines, so that if there is no distance maintained, it's the vine owner's responsibility. In the case that there's a breach in the fence, so the fence doesn't serve anymore as the demarcation. So the owner of the grain says to the owner of the vines, fix the fence. Nifritzah, let's say he fixed it and it broke again. Omer lo gedor, he says, well, owner of grain says back to vine owner, fix it. He gave up, he was lackadaisical, and did not build the fence. In the meantime, the grains grew, they developed, they continued to grow, an increase now in a state of prohibition. Hareze kidesh, the vines are now responsible for the damage to the prohibition now to the grains. V'chayav b'chrusu, and he must offer compensation for the prohibition that now sets upon the grains. In this case, where there was no nezek b'yodayim, it was the fence fell on its own. It happens from time to time that fences break. The owner of the vineyard was expected to take care of it, but didn't. So, and the additional growth that took place in this state of prohibition caused the grains to be prohibited. So it's because of the inactivity of the owner of the vines that the grains were ruined. That's a case of garmi. There wasn't any proactive damage, but rather causative, or something that was indirect. And the source says, Chayav b'chrusu, that the owner of the vineyard is obligated to compensate. So here we see a case, a source, which we already associated with Rebbe Meir as prosecuting cases of garmi. The Mishnah. Within the Mishnah, we have a numbering that takes place on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei/Mivneh heading. Numbers 1 through 3 represent Gimel, Mikrim, Betzviyas Semer, three cases involving the dyeing of wool. Nezek, damage that results. Mazik Bekavona, someone who damages deliberately. And three, Mishane Midivrei Balabai, someone who changes from what the owner of the wool had ordered. Hanosein Tsemer Latzaba, someone gave wool to a dyer. Vikdichoy Yore. Yore is the pot or the cauldron in which dyes colors are absorbed into the fabrics that are placed there. In this case, while in the pot, hikdicho is an expression meaning it burnt. Rashi says, hikdicho yore sarfosoi yore shimsicho yoser midai. It got burnt in the cauldron because he boiled it up too much. So the tzabo, no saying lo, the maid tzimro, the owner, or the, I should say, the hired hand, the dyer has to pay the owner of the, or what we call him, the customer, he has to pay the customer the value of the wool, the original wool. Tzavo kiur. The word kiur will be explained in the Gemara. Notice the first line of the Gemara asks the question, my kiur. So it has to do with something that ruins the wool. Savokir, im hashevach yeser al hayetziah, if the increased value, even though it's not a successful dying job, but there is improvement, and if the value of the improvement is greater than the yitzia, the expenses of the dyer, Noisein loy es hayetzia. The owner of the wool will get his dyed wool, even though it's cured. He'll get it, and he'll pay the lesser amount. He'll pay the expenses. We'll take a look at the Rashi. Sovo kiur, kamo kiur. Now the word kiur with an ayin means something that is ugly, mechuar, something that's disgusting or ugly. But Gemara Meforesh, the Gemara will explain, shetzavoi b'shorei tseva. He didn't use original dyes for dyeing the fabric, but rather some residue from dyes. Umazik b'kavonahu. He's considered a deliberate ruiner, a deliberate damager. Lefikoch yodoi ala tachtono. Divrei hakol. In this case, where it's, we'll say, straightforward, direct damage, everyone agrees that the dyer gets the, we'll say, the lesser end of the deal. And we read already one stage, and that was if the improvement in the wool, after all, it is dyed, it's not a high-quality job, though, if the increase in value of the wool is greater than the expenses, so the owner of the wool pays the dyer whatever expenses he incurred. Ve'im hayitzio yisera l'shevach, if the expense, the amount of the expense is greater than the value of the improvement in the wool, noisein lo es ha-shevach, the owner of the wool pays the dyer the value of the increase, and that's it. The dyer is losing out because he spent even more than that amount in dyeing it. A third situation. Here, there's not an issue of poorness in quality, but rather lack of adherence to instructions. Litzvo'alo, you hired someone to dye fabric, Adom, Vitzava Shachar. You had hired him to dye it red, and he changed it from what your instructions, and he dyed it black. Shachar Vitzava Adom, or the other way around. You hired him to do it black, and he did it red. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Noisein Loi Demei Tzimro. The owner, I should say the dyer, pays the owner of the wool the value of the wool, we'll say the raw product. That's what the dyer owes to the customer. And we explain that very simply because the dyer acquires it through shinui, through change. The concept of shinui kaina is something that we've seen very often in the past few prokim. The next opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda represents an opinion that Rashi describes as a knas. He imposes a fine. In other words, even though in principle shinui is kaina, not in this case. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hashevach yeser al yetzia, if the improvement in the dyed wool is greater than the expenses that the dyer laid out, noisein lo es hayetzia, the owner of the wool pays the dyer his expenses. And you can see that the dyer is not acquiring the dyed wool. And in that respect, you see how Rabbi Yehuda differs from Rabbi Meir, who went straight for that shinui kaina. V'im hayetzia yisera l'shevach, if the expenses were greater than the improvement in wool value, in the dyed wool value, noisein lo es hashevach, the owner of the wool gets his dyed wool, pays the dyer the value of the shevach, even though that is less than the amount he had laid out to dye the wool. Let us look together at Rashi. Rashi, four lines from the end, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the first line under the Gemara text, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dekonis le lahai deshina. Rabbi Yehuda imposes a fine upon he who was Meshana, who changed. He didn't follow the instructions of the customer. Lios yodo ala tachtona, that he gets the lesser end of the deal. V'lo nishani mishvachin will not benefit from the increase in value. V'yagro nami kulei lo yishkol. And as far as his wages, full wages, he doesn't get. Elo yitzia, all he gets paid are his expenses. V'im yitzia yisera lo shevach, and if his expenses exceeded the increase in value of the wool yitain, et lo as a shevach, the customer pays only that increase in value, sheishbiach as a tzemer, that was a result of the improvement in the wool being dyed. V'im yutze loseis eschoro, if the customer should want to pay him his wages, kagon shashevach yoyser al aschar yitain schoro, there could be a situation where the increase in value exceeds the wages that he would receive. So in a case like that, the customer can pay the lesser amount, the wages, the schar, and he gets his improved wool, even though it's not that which he ordered, but it's worth more than his raw wool. And Rabbi Yehuda represents a shita of knas, of imposing this fine. Even though, technically speaking, shinui is koine, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda imposes the fine. My kiur, we said in the Mishnah, the second line of Mishnah, we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above, where the Mishnah said, Sovo kiur. What is kiur? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Chana, Kalbus. My kalbus, you know, as you're explaining a word I don't understand, kiur, with another word I don't understand. So what's kalbus? Omar Rabo Bar Shmuel. We continue at the top of Daf Kuf Aleph. Kafro Dudi. Rashi at the top says Kafro Dudi Kineach Es Hayura. Kafro literally means to wipe off or clean off, in this case, the inside of the pot. Klomar. What do we mean by that here? There was a cauldron in which dyes had boiled. Dyes were made from plant roots and other plant related substances. They're boiled up, releasing the dye from the plant. And in the course of preparing dye, so some residue dye accumulates along the inside walls of the pot. He, in this case, he wiped off the walls, the inside walls of the pot, and used that residue dye for dyeing additional fabrics. The quality is less than standard quality. And hence we referred to that as a mazik, as a damager, when we learned the Mishnah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.